Hello there, and welcome to the Palm and Pine Podcast. The boys are coming to you from their hidden camp, set deep in the Florida woods on the banks of the mystic Suwannee River. So let's take a moment and hear from the boys of old Florida.
All right, folks, welcome to the Palm and Pine Podcast. We're ready to go here today, and we got a great show today, a great interview coming up. And a lot of folks don't know Douglas, Professor Barlow, but we almost had a ditch dug all the way across our great state and came very close to it. And we're going to learn a whole lot about that ditch digging process, and because we got an expert here with us today. But yeah, let's learn about the big dig, the Ditch of Dreams. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to you, Professor Barlow, for an introduction.
Okay. Steve, I could not sleep last night thinking about the guest we have today. We have with us today Dr. Stephen Knoll. Dr. Knoll earned his bachelor's degree in history from William & Mary. He went on to earn a couple of master's degrees from the University of Florida, and finally his PhD in American history from the University of Florida. And he has worked there as a lecturer slash professor for, I believe, over 30 years now. He's written a number of books. And the one we really want to talk about today is his fabulous book, Ditch of Dreams, A History of the Florida Cross Florida Barge Canal. He wrote with co-author David Tegeder. And so without further ado, welcome to the podcast, Dr. Knoll.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Great.
Inside an air conditioning.
So. Yeah. We all are in the air conditioning. Let's just go back to the beginning. You're growing up, I assume, in Virginia, and you're going to William & Mary. What made you want to be a historian?
Actually, I grew up in New York and then went to Virginia to go to college. I was always interested in the past, and you know, growing up in that time period, young boys were infatuated with World War II. Learning about that and the battles. And then when I was 10 or so, Civil War centennial, and, you know, interested in that, and that that piqued my interest and kind of went from there. My interests in history have rather changed dramatically from concerned about battles and war and all that other stuff to kind of more environmental issues and issues of everyday people and issues of people with disabilities. But still, history is my passion. History is my interest, and happy to talk about it. And this story is certainly an amazing story that just keeps going. You know, the book was published 15 years ago and people are still talking about it. I'm on a podcast. Last week I just did a Zoom talk to a group in Citrus County. So it's kind of amazing.
Right. And to tell you a little bit about our background, Steve and I were born in Plant City. And in the late 60s, our parents bought property in Northwest Levy County near Fanning Springs. And we eventually moved there in the early 70s. So our childhood was filled with memories of crossing that bridge on Highway 19 near Inglis. So the barge canal was something that was front and center to us. It wasn't an abstract thing. We thought about it. We discussed it. We grew up around it. So when I saw your book, I thought, well, I've just got to read that. And if we might kind of go back to the beginning and work our way up. I did not realize it was something that went back to the early 20th century and even the 19th century, and we'll discuss that. Let's kind of start at the beginning. You know, what motivated you to start writing this book? I assume it was before 2000, maybe as early as 1990 or 2000.
Well, actually, it's a very interesting thing. In 2000, a UF professor in the landscape architecture department approached Dave Tegeder and I about this grant that he was getting from DEP, Florida Department of Environmental Protection. And they were doing a huge grant from DEP to study this thing called the Cross Florida Greenway. The Cross Florida Greenway is this linear park that is now in place where the across Florida Barge Canal would have been. When it was stopped, it turned into this wonderful linear park, which is ironic, right? This industrial waterway is now this wonderful outdoor recreational site. And this DEP grant was kind of this multidisciplinary thing in which people from the university would engage with how this greenway could be used and should be used. And so they had people in geomatics, they had people in biology, they had people in landscape architecture, they had people in recreation, and they said, let's bring in some historians. And we were not experts on this at all. I mean, I had known about this, but not really. And we said, okay. And they gave us carte blanche to go and look in all the archives and kind of nice money to go around. We went to D.C. We went to Tallahassee. We went to Tampa. You know, we went to where Stetson is in DeLand, all these places that had the archives. And our goal was to produce a product for this grant. And the first thing we asked was, can we write a book? And they said, whoever they were, DEP, and I said, so we never thought about that, but that sounds great. And then we asked, you know, who has property rights over the material that we find? And they said, you can give us the product for the grant, but everything else is yours. So we did all this stuff and we produced the grant. And, you know, today I'm still in touch with the people from DEP who were involved in that. And so, you know, it's become kind of this not only professional, but personal interest as well. And I don't think anybody else is in touch with them. In fact, last year, as Mickey Thomason, who was the superintendent of the Cross Florida Greenway State Park, as he was retiring, basically a year ago now, we went out on Rodman Reservoir for the last time, he and I, in airboats, and it was phenomenal. But then Dave and I talked to University Press of Florida and asked whether they'd be interested in the book, and they said, sounds like a great topic. You know, and the question that I had is, it's an amazing topic. Why the heck had no one done this before? You know, it's such an amazing, and the thing is, it's still an ongoing project. So I'm in the process of trying to write a second book called It's About Damn Time on what's happening with Rodman, but I can't get a hook on what's happening because nothing's happening. So then we'll talk maybe a little bit about now maybe something will happen. So that's the story. And, you know, I've been around the state since the book was published, and you know, the book got awards from Florida Historical Society and the Gulf South Historical Society. So people liked it, and it was written. We decided to write it not as an academic book, but as a book that academics could use, but as a book that the general public would use and enjoy. So, you know, the footnotes are not those academic tomes. You know, the footnotes just tell you where we got the material from and maybe if there's other material that's related to that. So it's been amazing. And, you know, as I said, it's the gift that's still giving. And this friend of mine who teaches at UCF said, you're still riding that damn Barge Canal horse. And we said, if people are interested, we're still riding. Yeah. So.
Okay, great. So if we might pick up the story in your wonderful book, and I was very surprised, it kind of goes back to when Florida was just a territory. And right. You mentioned this early expedition by one Major Perrault, I think in July of 1826. They didn't know better than to come to Florida in the summer.
Right.
What is left document-wise of these expeditions you talk about in the 19th century?
There's a lot of stuff because it's all Army Corps of Engineers that come down. And, you know, not private, but and it's interesting because, you know, Florida as a southern territory and as a southern state is rather problematic about the federal government intrusion because they're afraid about slavery. They're afraid they're going to take slaves away. But they're very happy to have the Army come down here and develop possibilities for figuring out what this state looks like. And in the process of doing that, they're also going to look for ways that the canal can be, that a traversion of the state can occur. And so they're looking all over the state. So much of the mapping of the early state early territory mostly, and then state, comes from Army Corps of Engineers slogging, and often in the summer because they can't figure this out, slogging through the swamps of Florida, trying to figure out the best route for a canal. Because 1825, Erie Canal, it's canal fever. There's no railroads coming to Florida, really. The roads are terrible, so the main transportation network is water. And, you know, to connect the Mississippi waterways with the Atlantic waterways, you got to go around Florida. And going around Florida entails having to go through the Florida Straits, which are very dangerous with reefs and rocks, but also with wreckers, you know, Key West, basically pirates. And so we're looking for a way to go across there. And all those materials are in Army Corps of Engineers records. And many of these people also left, often the director of these expeditions left diaries, and those diaries are in various places around the state. Many of them are in the P.K. Young Library of Florida History here at UF. Mm-hmm. Some of them are in the USF Library. Some of them are in the State Archives in mm-hmm. Tallahassee. Some of them actually are in the National Archives. So there's a lot of material. And, this is a time in which every town has a newspaper. And, you know, these expeditions are chronicled in newspapers. And, you know, oftentimes now the newspapers are either digitized, probably not so much even 15 years ago, but on microfilm. So there's a lot of material out there.
Okay, great. Now, would you say these diaries are on the caliber of, say, William Bartram's writing?
No. They're pretty cut and dry as to what we're doing, you know.
Okay. Well, moving on to the 1850s, you can see this tension develop between North and South, and they're complaining about not getting funded for this project. And I just thought, you have this hilarious quote from an editor at DuBose Review that I just wanted to read. They're frustrated about a lack of funding in the South for this project. And he says, it's the natural result of retrogression created by that pestilential black hole of Northern fanaticism. I thought that was just so hilarious. They were good with words in the 19th century.
Oh, yeah. Big words. And, you know, big words. Pretty crazy because they don't like the North, but yet they're more than willing to utilize federal funding to help build this thing.
Right. It's fascinating to me that the word black hole was in use before astronomers started.
That's right. Yeah. And the black hole could also refer to Florida as well, because, you know, Florida is that black, you know, this place, it's the smallest population state in the South into the 20th century. It is full of swamps and alligators and everything else. And so it's a black hole. But the canal would take this black hole and make it into some kind of economic boom place.
Right. Now moving ahead to the early 20th century, there were two major weather events that you mentioned in your book, one more important than the other. One, I'm very curious about the Great Freeze of 1895 and 1896, but then again, the hurricane in 1935 that, of course, affected the railroad construction of Key West, but it also played a key role and the first real development of the canal in Florida, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, the frost, actually 1894, 95. But the frost really was the first major depression tied to the economy, the national economy in Florida. Florida's citrus industry was booming. Railroads had just started, 1890s, with Plants Railroad and Flagler's Railroad, and they were shipping oranges up north, and the freeze, which there was one in December of 1894, and then another one in February of 1895, boom, destroyed the prices of land in Orange County are reduced by like 70%. There's stories of orange growers blowing their heads off. So Florida's first major industry now has been hurt, so let's look for something else. But the 1935 hurricane, which hit the Upper Keys, and there's a ship, early cruise ship called the SS Dixie, which is traversing from New Orleans to New York, not going to the Caribbean, and it's in it's in the Florida Straits, and basically they're afraid it's going to sink from the hurricane, and the people have to be removed from the ship, and the people who are supporting the canal take this as an opportunity to say, if the canal was built, this wouldn't happen, because you know it's not about cruising; it's about from New Orleans, fastest way to New York. So, and we have a great March of Time video. March of Time, was those newsreels on the movie screens, right? And so, Florida Hurricane SS Dixie in trouble, and the canal boosters utilize this to say, we need to complete this thing. And this is going to be a ship canal, not a barge canal in the 30s. So the ship would have been able to traverse directly across the state.
Right. Okay. So as you point out in your book, opposition to the canal had been mainly for practical reasons, economic reasons, up until the 20th century, when the ideas of conservation, stopping it for the sake of conservation, is important. And you talked about several prominent conservationists in your book. And I'm really intrigued by Charles Simpson, and I might just read a section of what he said, which I think is kind of ironic. He said, "But I wonder quite seriously if the world is any better off because we have destroyed the wilds and filled the land with countless human beings." It's ironic. I guess he wrote that in the 20s.
Right.
And it's kind of what we have done in Florida since then.
Especially even
since 1970, because Steve and I know the area where we live, the population has fivefold increased since 1970.
Right.
Isn't that ironic?
And Simpson is not necessarily concerned with the canal, but Florida in general. He's a South Floridian who is concerned about the Everglades. But yeah, I mean, that's the take here, and certainly his take is, we're if we build this economic boom place, more and more people will come and we'll destroy what makes Florida unique.
It's kind of ironic, even though it was not built, of the population explosion.
Oh, yeah.
It indeed happened.
Right. Well, it's about transportation. So other forms of transportation were built. That's the thing. People have said to us, well, the canal wasn't built, but it really was. It's just called I-10 or I-4. Right.
Right.
This concludes part one of our interview with Dr. Stephen Nall, co-author of the book Ditch of Dreams, the Cross Florida Barge Canal, and the Struggle for Florida's Future. Please join us next week for part two as we continue our discussion.
We hope you've enjoyed today's episode of the Palm and Pine Podcast. This podcast is for informational and entertainment purposes only and should not be considered professional advice. The views and opinions expressed by the host or any guest are our own and do not necessarily reflect the views of any affiliates. Our opinions are just that, opinions, and are not legal or medical advice. But in our opinion, avoid lawyers and big pharma at all cost. Copyright 2025, Palm and Pine Podcast, all rights reserved. Please subscribe and share. Okay, until next time, keep it Florida, and we'll see you soon.